This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, boo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer, here for part two of the New Jersey reunion, and you know what that means. I'm here with Jordana. How's it going?
Hi, Dylan. So excited to be back. You were commenting, you know, I'm pretty tan today. I'm in Jersey mode.
You're in Jersey mode. Mm-hmm. New York City's in smog mode. I feel like this like smoke cloud that's over us kind of feels appropriate for the tone that's being set at the New Jersey reunion.
It does. It was tense. I mean, very clearly.
It's been tense. This episode, the guys are coming out at the very end, so that means that during this episode, we get a few flashes backstage of the guys kind of like hanging out pre-appearance, and the vibes are not good.
The vibes are like they're in gangs. Like each room looks like they're, I feel like I'm watching The Outsiders, like the, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like Louis shirtless, he's like, they're like talking shit. It feels like they're like ready to go into battle. It's very funny.
I've not thought about The Outsiders since like seventh grade English class, but that's a good reference. Yeah, it's like dressing room one and dressing room two. And it's funny because in dressing room one, you see it's like Nate, Louis and Bill, I guess. Polly's in there.
Yes.
And, you know, Nate's like, wow, it's pretty calm. You know, we're just hanging out. Louis doesn't have a shirt on. Like, it's very just like the three of them don't really have anything to say to each other. And then in the other dressing room, it's like Frank, Joe Benigno. Like, everybody's kind of like juiced up, like ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
And Frank's like, you know, the vibe changed this year. The only thing that changed is that Louis here. And, you know, he fucked over Frankie.
It was hard to hear anything Frank said when I was just sort of like blinded by his teeth.
Frank has definitely had the like housewife special when it comes to like the work done. But yeah, like there's this weird thing that we didn't really hear about how young Frankie was working for Louis's company that apparently just shut down. But then he kind of got ghosted by Louis.
Right.
So that's, you know, Frank feels like he has this personal bone to pick. And then that's on top of all the Bo Deedle, the private investigator layer of stuff that's happening. So like this dressing room too is like really amped up to go out and see Louis.
Yeah. I'm like, I feel like next week is going to be the best part. And when I say best, I mean like the most dramatic, intense.
Yes. But I think the thing is with the women on stage, I think because Melissa and Teresa are at this point where they cannot have a conversation about anything, it feels a little bit like we're just going in circles. And you can tell that Andy kind of feels that way too, that it's like, you know, a segment will start out about Rachel Fuda and then 5 minutes later it has devolved into like, you're a bitch. Oh, you're a bitch. Okay, you're weak. You're weak. You're weak. You're weak. And it's like, this was Rachel's segment.
Yeah, it's extremely uncomfortable. And they managed to make, like you said, like they managed to make any of the other drama about them or like pick up on a line and then just make it from there. Like, what was the thing with them? I'm going to call my ex.
Yes. It's like, Channing Tatum. I like Channing Tatum.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's entertaining to watch, I think, because we're seeing like a snippet of it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure in person when it's like 10 hours long and it's just constant, it does probably feel like a little draining.
That's a good point, that there are some reunions where you're like, release the footage. Like, I would love to know everything. That like Vanderpump right now is very like, show me as extended of a cut as you can. Whereas this, it's like, oh, it would be overwhelming, I imagine.
Totally. To be in that room for, because again, they're just saying the same things over and over together. It's not like you're learning something new really about about their feud.
And I think that's kind of the tough thing about where this show is kind of overall. And this reunion is the crystallization of that, is like, this can't continue the way that it is going right now. There's no path forward. There's no productive moment to be had. It's just kind of like, it doesn't seem like anybody really has like the Trump card that's going to be like, I won. It's just like, you're going to bicker with each other until the end of time.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, if you think about like who wins, if they're both laying down, it doesn't sound like they're both, Teresa's laying down a like, I'm not seeing you again thing, then like, we're going to find out who wins because we're going to find out who's cast. Like, when we find out who's cast next year is going to be when we find out who's winning. When do they start filming? They must be relatively soon.
So I think in the past they would have started filming maybe in like July, but there's some rumblings that they might be like holding a little longer this season before filming to kind of like let things shake out a little bit, decide what direction they want to go in. I feel like with every Bravo show at this point, people are really quick to use the like on pause terminology. Mm-hmm. And it's like them waiting one extra month to start filming is not any meaningful pause. It's just like, yeah, it's June right now. The season is just not even over yet. And they're going to give it like a month before they send out contracts again.
A month to breathe, which I think is fair.
Yeah. Like, they've talked about doing the same thing with Vanderpump Rules. And people are like, Vanderpump Rules is going on pause after their best season ever. And it's like, that's just called like a normal hiatus between seasons.
Yeah. Especially because they extended the season.
Right.
You know, like, with filming.
It's June. It's June. July. Yeah. July is not that far away. And I think for most of these shows, a little bit of time and space between seasons is a good mm-hmm. thing a lot, most of the time.
Well, you think about it also, like, this is their job, right? And like, you don't want them to get burnt out from filming. I think sometimes when they have like a month to regroup, they come in like a little fresh and like maybe working harder or more, you know, more interesting. Yeah, if they're just keep going nonstop, I think you can tell it kind of wears on them.
Well, and it also gives you a little bit of an opportunity. Like sometimes in scripted shows, they'll do a time jump in the mm-hmm. in the show. And obviously Housewives isn't, you know, going ahead 5 years. But if you pick up cameras right after the reunion films, there's no opportunity for things to shift between seasons.
Right.
You're like, you're capturing it in real time, which, depending on the situation, that can be exciting. But also it's like, if they're still fighting about the exact same things they were fighting about at the reunion that we watched a year ago, it's like, I would rather them wait 3 months and then have like something fresh, new stuff going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, obviously major question marks going into next season, but I mean, this episode starts with the same thing it's always been. Teresa is now apparently blaming Melissa and Joe for, they were hanging out with people who were responsible for them going to jail. And Andy has to point out, he's like, you were married to the person who was responsible for you going to jail. And she's like, right. But Chris Lorita said.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Andy seems to be the only one who could say that to her without getting his head chopped off.
Yeah.
Because if anyone else was like, you know, your husband's the one who put you in jail, I think she would freak out.
Yeah. And even, I mean, granted, Melissa's not the person that's going to be met with the most, you know, whatever right now, but she's like, we didn't commit mortgage fraud. You did, doll face. And Teresa's like, not mortgage fraud. That was and then the taxes. And it's like, that's not the issue here.
Right. Well, is she saying that, because she's also not saying when she went to jail, this is a long time ago, so I don't fully remember, was she at fault? Like, was she also committing more? I mean, she must have, because she did go to jail.
So what basically happened was that her signature was on documents that were fraudulent. Okay. So she was culpable for that. But I think nobody ever really argued that she just signed the papers that Joe told her to sign. Right. I don't think she was ever really seen as like accomplice, but it was like, you signed the papers, you have to be responsible for this.
Right.
So there is some, you know, I don't think anybody's ever really challenged that she was some like, you know, criminal mastermind. It's like her husband literally did screw her over in that sense. But like, it just is so, I mean, to relitigate that again and again. It's like,
I didn't mean to bring it up again.
No,
yeah.
No, I mean, it's relevant because they're talking about it, but it's like on their level, it's like, right, that was so long ago.
Right. Although, I mean, I guess it is like a huge part of her life if she thinks about it, like, or a huge, like a huge moment in her past, which probably still, I think she probably has a lot of resentment. She doesn't really talk about resenting Joe that much. She talks a little bit about how the fact that she missed like her mother dying Or that she missed a year with her mother before she died was like a big part of it. But I think she probably has a lot more resentment towards Joe than she's even talking about. If you think about all the people who have wronged Teresa in her life, like
right.
this seems to be the biggest thing that anyone could possibly do to put you in jail and you're away from your kids for a year. But I think it's easier to displace that onto others that yeah. because maybe for the sake of her kids that she doesn't want to have this like angry, contentious relationship with her ex-husband.
I think, yeah, it seems that she's sort of compartmentalized her feelings about Joe Giudice to a point where that's not what she's actively angry about, or at least not, you know, consciously.
Yeah.
But I mean, talking about going back to the past, she's the one that brings up Jacqueline, who hasn't been on the show in six or so years. And, you know, she's saying that Jacqueline said all these horrible things about Melissa. And Andy, again, is like, wait. So now you are friends with Jacqueline when before this was like the biggest enemy in your life. And they bring out these texts. Margaret brings it up first, but then Melissa is the one who has it printed out to read. And it's a text that Jacqueline sent to Jackie Goldschneider mm-hmm. about Teresa. And these are in 2021.
How did they even begin talking? My question.
I don't know. So there were a couple screenshots. They showed the one big screenshot on the show. And then there was another one preceding that that was floating around online. But we never saw texts that were like the beginning of the conversation. It was just talking shit about Teresa.
Right.
But okay, this text... I know I shouldn't care, but her arrogance, voice, and the fact that she gets away with too much after being a nasty asshole bothers me. This is the funniest part to me. She is a low-life trash bucket. And then it goes into her plastic surgery, you know, her voice, she thinks she's a goddess, all this stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in that text.
Yeah. Some of it's very mean.
Some of it very mean.
Most of it's very mean.
And I mean, Jacqueline is not on the show. She's not coming back on the show, I don't think. She's not here to speak for herself.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she was saying all that stuff, you know, 2 years ago, it does make you wonder, like, what are really the intentions of Jacqueline then, like, befriending Teresa. They're hanging out in Vegas. They're, you know.
Yeah. Like, what is the whole, I mean, also, like, again, there's the Dina part of it to me that also seems like, don't they not speak? Because Dina, so yeah. Jacqueline's married to Dina's brother.
Yes.
And there's also a rift between, maybe it was like right. part of the rift with her and Dina.
So
where she starts talking to.
Dina and Caroline don't speak. Jacqueline and Dina, I think, are like not as estranged, but mm-hmm. not great.
Right. Okay.
But right. But yeah. it's like, what is in it for Jacqueline to be in maneuvering behind the scenes in this group the way that she is? Why does Jacqueline have Jackie Goldschneider's number?
Seems like she's a little bored.
Yeah. Perhaps.
Potentially.
But then the fact that Melissa's reading this text, obviously, like we said, there's mean stuff in the text about Teresa, but Teresa's like, as she's reading it, Teresa's like, oh, Jacqueline's gonna kill you. And Dolores is like, you better sleep with one eye open. It's not good for you, Melissa. And it's like, why? What is Jacqueline gonna do in Vegas? Like, oh,
right.
It's strange.
That was the right. That it's weird that was the big reaction to her reading that text.
Right. Not like, Melissa, you're being horrible for repeating these things
right.
on camera. But then it's like, oh, you better watch out. It's like, what?
Right. I wonder what goes on behind the scenes. I mean, like, what is Jacqueline going to do? Roast her on Instagram or Twitter?
Right. She already has.
Right.
Right. Like, Jacqueline saying that Melissa's like fame hungry is not new.
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't that insulting.
Also, it's like kind of rich coming from
Jacqueline, like, who's starting all this shit.
But it's like, you're the one who hasn't had a TV show for all these years.
Right. And yet is still inserting herself into.
It is funny the way that on Bravo shows and this franchise in particular, the idea of being fame hungry and wanting attention and wanting to be on camera is sort of continuously wielded as a negative thing when, like, this is all existing within the bubble of a reality TV show.
Right.
And it's like every single person on this couch has at one point made the decision that this is what they want and has continued to make that decision by staying on the show. And so when you're like, oh, well, like, Rachel told me she didn't really watch the show, but she had a Finsta that was Bravo Lover 1234. It's like, Jennifer Aiden was tweeting years ago that her biggest dream was to be a housewife. Like, it's not an, it's not a bad thing.
Right. It's kind of funny. It's like trying to insult someone by saying that they care a lot about their job.
Do you know what I mean? Like trying to insult someone.
You try so hard at your job. Like,
but yeah. It's like, right. It's like people who come to work at Betches and followed us on Instagram. It's like, yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah. It's like a good thing.
Yeah.
You want them invested.
Right. And it is funny just because like even with Jackie and Teresa, there's been this thing of like, you know, Jackie went to a book signing of Teresa's like years ago.
Yeah,
and
I remember
people
that.
Post this
yeah.
photo and being like fangirl. And it's like,
of course. Well, it's like,
we're on
else?
A podcast about this show.
If you apply to be on Real Housewives of anything,
yeah.
one has to assume that you are want to be famous, want to be
yeah.
in this world, are fame hungry. I don't think any of them are like, we're just like frolicking about like, and then we're discovered one day without being interested in being on the show.
Yeah. And even in interviewing a lot of the people that go on these shows, that's something we talked about, that it's like everybody has their reasons for doing it. And also these shows have been on for long enough now that auditioning, signing up, applying to be on Housewives is, you know, exactly what it is.
Into.
It's yeah. not like back in 2008 when it's like, oh, this sounds like a fun opportunity. Maybe it'll be
Ambitious
good for my business.
New York.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's not that thing that's this kind of like unknown, you know, maybe there's gold in them, their hills. It's like, no, the reason you're doing it is because you've seen what it's done for other people, or you want something specific for yourself. So I almost wish that would just go away as like a Housewives trope of the like arguing about who watched the show before, who's thirsty for camera time. It's like, you're all getting camera time. You're all full-time cast members on this show.
You're here for a reason, right? You didn't sign up to be like in this startup. Like, this is a full-blown corporation that you know exactly what to expect from.
Right, and Rachel's like, I wouldn't have said I didn't watch the show because that's just not true. Like,
plus, if you didn't watch the show before going and filming the show, I think that's very unwise. It's like not researching the company that you're about to start working for.
Yeah. I mean, likewise, Jen did research on the Rachel's nose search. But I love the clarification that she's like, I didn't go to him to get my nose fixed. He only did my chin.
Rachel's doctor did Jen's chin?
I think that's where we landed.
Okay. Interesting.
I don't know. It is just funny because it's like for Jen Aiden of all people to make comments about somebody's like bad nose job.
Right.
But then to also have work done by the same doctor. It's like, I don't know how like the plastic surgery circles of New Jersey work, but it just, I don't know.
I mean, Jen is like a hypocrite 101. What did she say about like when Andy asks her about like revealing the Melissa rumor?
Mm.
And she's like, well, you know, they did it to me. So it's fair game. And Melissa's like, I didn't do it to you. And she's like, well, like, I forgot what her response was, but it was like just deflecting the fact that like
yeah.
she's saying that it's so messed up that Margaret did this and then does it and then has no regard for saying that it's hypocritical.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention. This rumor about Melissa is a big sticking point in part two of the reunion. We're talking about ex-best friend Laura, and Margaret walks us back, says that Margaret was trying to be nice at one point and get her friend Laura on the show. And then at a certain point, she realized that the friendship with Laura was more about her trying to be on the show than about an actual friendship. So they distanced themselves. And then Laura, still wanting to get on the show, chose to back channel some drama. And so this was a revelation to me. I don't know if this was talked about at all online, but we find out that Jennifer told Melissa about this rumor from Laura before the season started filming.
Okay.
And, you know, Melissa already knew something about it. She wasn't that concerned. So basically, this whole storyline on the season was constructed by Jennifer in a way to seem like it was this big thing, you know, that, oh, we can't say this, we can't bring it up, I'm going to be really careful with how we tell Melissa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Danielle, I'm going to tell you, but you can't say anything.
Even though I'm telling you on camera.
Even right. though I'm telling you on camera. And even though I already told Melissa, right. It's like, it really is interesting to hear more of the layers of this, because this was a major plot point throughout the season. And Danielle was kind of like the one who had to be the bearer of bad news. And now we find out that everybody else already knew.
Yeah. She, as she says in her trailer, when I don't think she thinks she's mic'd, I was set up.
They set me up.
Even though she's pretending on the show that she doesn't believe that she was set up, which is also interesting.
I think she really doesn't want to run afoul of Teresa and Jennifer. Mm-hmm. And that's very clear by the fact that she's like, guys, did you set me up? And Jennifer says, I'm sorry if it came across that way. That wasn't my intention. And she was like, well, I believe it. I believe that you didn't set me up. I don't want to think of myself as anyone's pawn. And Margaret's like, well, babe.
Right. You can, that's your desire.
Helps you sleep at night.
But clearly she does think that.
Right? Yeah, that was a fascinating little fourth wall moment where she's behind the door and she says to Nate, they set me up. They used me.
Of course they set her up. To me, it was kind of like there's Teresa who's running the show and then there's Jennifer who's usually carrying out her shit. And I think Jennifer has gotten established enough on the show where she's like, OK, that's like a lower ranked soldier's move than me. Like I've graduated. I've been promoted to manipulation person, not like executor.
Yeah. She's like, I'm the consigliere now.
Yes. Actually, she's like, because now she's like Teresa's mouthpiece for all the other, the drama. And I think she was like, okay, there's a new girl here. She seems to want to be on this side. Like she's going to be the one, you know, being the face of this issue.
I'll give her this little task to do to see if she can prove her worth.
Yeah.
It's funny though, because I think that's how Jennifer's looking at it from like a storyline maneuvering standpoint. Mm-hmm. But I think Teresa more sees it as this piece of information to kind of, use against Melissa with her brother. Like that, she's like, oh well, if Joey finds out about this, then maybe he'll realize that Melissa's like this
cheater or
horrible person.
It's just funny because there's been so many rumors like about all of them, but like I feel like I've heard rumors about Melissa and an ex sort of like sprinkled throughout all the seasons, and he never really. It doesn't seem like that's really ever shaken them.
No.
And so I don't really understand what the point is of continuously going on that.
That's something that is a struggle for me to understand from Teresa's perspective. I get that she doesn't like Melissa. Like, mm-hmm. I get that she maybe on some level still feels like she wasn't the right girl for her brother or something.
Sure, fine.
But the fact that season after season, it feels like every time there's a rumor or a whispering of something, she's like, oh, this is going to be the thing that makes Joe realize that this was
right.
That this girl isn't good enough for him, or that she's, you know, two timing and whatever. And it's like Melissa and Joe have never really had real issues on the show. There was one last season or two seasons ago. Right. There was like
friction. Like working too much.
Right. She was working too much. You know, how real that was, I don't really know. But that's the biggest conflict we've ever seen between them on the show. And it never felt existential. It just felt like Joe needed to kind of like get with the program a little bit about what their life is like.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that like, I mean, I think on like on a grander level, these are like this is your brother and these are your nieces and nephews. And I think it is really fucked up to try to like destroy their family by continuously trying to like create this rumor, like just for the sake of your own like innocent family member. Like those are your niece and nephews. Mm.
Well, but then she also says she swears on her kids that she wants Melissa and Joe to be happy.
Mm.
That she's like, Okay. I had to tell Joe about this rumor I heard because, you know, I got to tell him. But then at the end of the day, if you want to be happy, I want you to be happy. And it's like,
but she keeps doing it. Yeah.
Right. It's like you at a certain point, your actions speak louder than words.
Right.
And it's like, you've never really shown us that you want Melissa and Joe to be like happy and in love together forever.
And that's fine. I think she should just own that. Like, I don't really like her. I would have preferred a different sister-in-law. It is what it is. And like, she doesn't have to make her into this like cheating, like manipulative person in order to just say, I just don't like her.
Yeah.
We don't mesh.
I do think we get closer to that when they're talking about the comment that Melissa made in Ireland about drunk dialing her ex. Yes. And Teresa's kind of just like, yeah, I thought that was nasty. She shouldn't have said it. She's a married woman. Like, okay, yeah.
Fine. That's your opinion. That's fine.
Yeah. I think that is how Teresa honestly feels about it. And I would rather her just say that than be like, well, I thought that because my brother is so sensitive, it would be blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, just say like,
right. If he wants to be, if he wants to be mad about it, like he'll be mad. He has the same right. access to this footage.
Teresa's mind cannot compute that Joe wouldn't see that and be livid.
Right. It's like maybe that's a trope in their relationship. Like that's clearly something that he doesn't care that much about because he can see it.
Right. Melissa's like, it was literally a joke. And Teresa's like, a joke.
There was one season where they like prank called him to say that she was like with a guy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I remember that.
I think that might've been the same season they were fighting. I don't remember, but
yeah,
it's clearly like not that sensitive of a subject in their relationship. If right. She's willing to prank him about it.
Right. Like whatever, you know, if you believe that they have ever, there's been infidelity in their relationship, that's fine. But they clearly are secure enough with each other to joke about those things. That seems like something we have established.
Right.
It is. Yeah. It's fine. I mean, and you know, Melissa takes that opportunity to do the, it's funny. Laugh. Ha ha.
And then they just keep going. Yeah. It is exhausting even just watching the snippets.
Yeah. When we get to the, when they're like, so Louis's the bitch boy now. And Teresa's like, yeah, he is the bitch boy. What about it?
Like, I didn't even understand what they were trying to say. Like that is it a good thing now to be a bitch boy?
I think it's a good thing when Teresa wants you to be
defending her. Yeah.
I don't know if bitch boy is something that we can really quantify in that way.
Right.
But I think when it suits Teresa, she, well, because she wants Louis to have the conversation about the rumor with, you know what?
I mean, I don't know. On this show, it seems like the definition of bitch boy on this show is someone who is defending their wife. Right?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm glad that that Bill Aiden's one therapy session really made a world of difference for him.
That was weird when the whole addressing of that topic, which, you know, I'm very into. I was very into that storyline. They really she really was not going into it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a shame because I think that would have been a really good opportunity to like be a little bit more real. Like you had seen her being on the show, but it seems like their discussion of that was just like, we're very happy. We don't need it anymore. Bill explained that he needs to relax. I'm like, he probably could have said that like when you originally asked him. Right. I don't think that.
Right. Like her big breakthrough is that it's like, I now also go to the pool house sometimes.
Okay. Fixed marriage problems fixed. Right.
Right. Just the idea that Andy's like, so did Bill ever change his mind about therapy? And she's like, no, but actually that one time we did go that you saw on camera that wasn't helpful. It actually was.
It doesn't make any sense. I was disappointed because I really was like into vulnerable Jen.
Yeah.
And it seems like she was not willing to go there in the reunion.
Yeah. Jennifer is she's a tough person to root for sometimes because I think she's great TV. Like, you know, she's obviously very good at this like production mindset, whatever. But on a personal level, it's like there are certain moments where it's like, I want this good thing for you. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel like you're on the level to be able to really just say like, yeah, I want that for me too. Because they're talking about her marriage and she's like, I love my marriage. It's exactly what I want. And it's like, that's fine. That's good. Like, mm-hmm. I want you to be happy, but it feels like always there's this like one layer of something that she can't quite get at.
Totally. And I think instead of going there, she's again just blaming Margaret for her daughter wanting to be a therapist, which I think is like a nice profession. It's not like she's saying like,
yeah,
my daughter wants to be like in the mob, but like my daughter wants to like help people work through their problems. And like my parents have their problems and they're working through it. Like, I don't think she's talking about this idea that she wants to be a therapist. It's like such is this like huge, like awful thing that has been done to her daughter. Like,
yeah,
that's a nice thing.
Well, and also like a 12-year-old changing their mind about what they want to be when they grow up is not earth shattering.
Right.
She's like, last year she wanted to be a Broadway star in Hamilton and now she wants to be a love therapist. It's like, okay, yeah. Same.
I don't think we need to blame Margaret for your daughter's potential career choice.
There was a time in my life when I earnestly told people I wanted to climb Mount Everest. Can you imagine? No.
I mean, I could see that for you.
It sounds like the least fun thing I can imagine.
People change.
Olivia Aiden has changed.
Yeah, but that she just keeps repeating that thing. And I just don't really think that anyone's like as infuriated about it as she is.
Yeah. On a lighter note, though, I the revelation that Jennifer's coffee reader psychic had also been No-No's like live-in nurse.
Who said that Melissa didn't visit him enough?
That sent me. It's like, she's like, okay, look, it wasn't fake, but she had mentioned a couple times before how Melissa didn't really come visit No-No when he was sick. It's like, oh my, everything comes back.
This woman's really a Renaissance woman. She's, you know, she's a nurse for the ill. She's reading teacups. It's like, how do you find these people who have these various like skills?
Right. It's like the circle of this show would really have you believe that there are only about 15 people
in the state of New Jersey,
in Bergen County, that all just have like various jack of all trades professions.
It's very weird.
And it's like, so actually the trainer is now the author who wrote the book and now has a restaurant.
Yeah. And because the trainer was, especially the trainer at the wedding.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, she's
side character
trainer slash shit stirrer.
I can't wait for the therapist to come back as like another housewife, Jen's therapist.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah. We've never had somebody's therapist be a housewife on the show. That would probably cause
some issues. Like HIPAA laws, some HIPAA rules, but you know, I'd be here for it.
Yeah. Like, Can you waive your like doctor patient confidentiality if Bravo cameras really want to know
for the right price? Yes.
It's like, actually, I would love to hold a diamond next season. So I don't do that.
I mean, listen, I would watch. Do I think it's morally okay? No. But is anything on the show? Not really.
Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. The big thing that we're setting up to have a battle royale next week is about this private investigator stuff that Louis seems to be. He seems to be keeping that industry afloat in America, I would say, at this point.
Honestly, like, I'm annoyed because I first, like, kind of liked Louis, and I just feel like he has ruined it entirely. And I kind of feel like he's like a bad guy now.
It's pretty bleak because the thing is, last season, when there was like stuff coming out about Louis, some of it was pretty cringeworthy, but it felt separate enough from what was happening on the show that it didn't really, not that it didn't matter, because some, you know, there were women that he had been with who had pretty troubling stories, but that it wasn't about the group. And now hearing the stuff about Jaden's birth mother getting contacted and Margaret's son potentially getting called and threatened at work, you know, I don't know one way or the other, like, all of this stuff, it's like,
it makes you kind of believe.
That's like dark as hell.
It makes you believe the stories more from the past that had come out. I think like about like him being abusive. The story you posted on Bravo by Betches last night to me was like, that is, if he could do that, then I think he probably did everything everyone's accusing him of.
So just a quick recap. Louis's ex-fiance filed for a restraining order against him because she alleges, so she's a therapist.
His ex-fiance or ex-wife?
Ex-fiance, I believe. Oh, okay. She's a therapist, and she's alleging that one of her clients was actually a private investigator hired by Louis to basically get information, and that she says that they had, like, you know, 3 or 4 sessions, and in each session the patient, quote unquote, was asking questions about this woman's relationship with Louis. And it's like, I mean,
that is crazy. Yeah,
that would be weird for any patient to be asking their therapist about their past engagement. That, like, why would you even know that? But, like, I mean, that's all alleged. She filed for the restraining order, but it's like that type of like, that's some messed up shit, if true.
And I mean, to me, that's like very concerning. She doesn't seem and. It just seems like a lot of things that people are accusing him of. And I have a hard time believing that none of them have any truth to them.
Yeah. And there's something that comes up earlier in the episode when, so they're asking about Margaret having information on people. And Margaret's like, well, I don't hire private investigators. I just like know a lot of people and hear things, which like, who knows? But Teresa is like, yeah, because you can't afford to hire private investigators. The way that she throws that out there, like it's this, you know, sick burn that it's like, yeah, you don't have all these private investigators because you couldn't afford it. And it's like, okay, it feels like you kind of just told on yourself a little bit.
Right. That's yeah. It's not the win you think it is. By saying that,
right? That it's like actually we write checks to many of them,
right? And she's like immediately called out on that. Like, oh, so it's okay to be like this sneaky bad person if you can afford it,
right?
Like that's so what makes weird. It okay. She's just like a. That's my issue with Teresa. She's just like a walking contradiction, and I'm a little nervous for her with Louis. Like I think that
yeah.
It's funny because, you know, we were talking on the wedding episode about how in love they seem and how like, and there's certain, I guess the cool thing about reality TV is it does show you no one is black and white because it seems like he does have some redeeming qualities. Like there are episodes where he seems like he is like somewhat of a peacemaker, somewhat into like mental health and that kind of stuff. And even like the way he is with his sons seems nice, but like this other side of him seems really, really dark and like potentially worrisome.
Yeah, and it feels like obviously on these shows, like you said, it does show you different sides of people, but also you're only seeing so much. Mm-hmm. And some of the stuff that we have seen on camera, knowing that that is what he has allowed to happen while he knows he's being filmed, it does kind of make you wonder, what are we not seeing?
Right.
And you know, I don't want to make any like grand declarations about what I think Louis is doing off camera because I'm not there. But like it seems all of this stuff about the private investigators and, you know, people getting called and threatened and all of that. It's like it feels like it comes together to create a picture. It doesn't feel like it's just like
isolated,
random
yeah.
here and there. And like, well, that doesn't sound true. That doesn't sound true. It's like, I don't know if all of it's true, but it certainly sounds like a, you know, a troubling image.
Agreed. If it walks like a duck, talks, you know, and even I think I saw something online about like the Bo Dietl statement.
Yeah.
And that Bo Dietl was actually like if you want to like be dropping my name, you need to like pay me because I haven't been doing it like I would. But yeah. I'm not actually a paying client of mine.
Yeah. I mean, I think next week it's going to be really, I'm curious to see kind of like what Louis actually has to say for himself, because I feel like Teresa she's gotten heated and said a lot of things, but she hasn't necessarily denied. Like, it doesn't feel like all of this stuff is just being denied flat out.
Yeah.
Which it's like,
which means to me that it is true.
Yeah.
Or at least part of it,
at least in some form, that right. there is a there.
I mean, Louis himself is stating that he is a very vindictive guy, that he's stating that like people better not mess with him. So it's like, why wouldn't we believe that it's true? This is like what people are saying.
Yeah.
He said, I have investigators with information on every single one of you. And then right. people the next episode are like, these people are coming after me and my children and my ex-wife and whatever. So it's kind of he's not denying it really either on the show.
For somebody like Frank Catania to be so heated against him, and he's like, you know, like I'm not a bandwagon kind of person, but like, I feel like this is personal to me now. Like that is, I mean, it's icky, but also then thinking about moving forward on the show, the husbands have always been kind of this like,
group
where yeah. even if everybody's not on the best terms with each other or their wives aren't, like, it's kind of one group. And I have a feeling that coming out of this reunion, that's not going to be like a safe space for Louis, even if maybe it wasn't already this season. But
yeah, he seems to be pissing quite a few people off. I think the interesting thing also in this dynamic friendship is Dolores, because she really has been towing the line for like every season she's on of like not fully supporting Teresa, but also not supporting her, if that makes sense. And so, and even in these, like in the reunion, you're seeing like little bits of Teresa being like pissed off at her for like speaking to, who was she speaking to? Was she speaking to Melissa or Rachel Fuda?
Yeah, she says,
and she's like, I want no, oh, or maybe it was Margaret. She was speaking to Margaret
about the Laura rumor. She was like, to be honest, like, cause you know, that rumor really, like, Teresa, Jennifer, and Danielle, that whole side of the couch, are all, like, deeply involved in it in various ways. And Dolores is really just like, guys, like, this is not my...
I want nothing to do with it.
I want nothing to do with it.
But Teresa's like, you should have defended me when someone told you about it. And she was like...
Yeah.
I think the Dolores-Teresa relationship is very interesting. Mm-hmm. Even, like, it's funny because, like, Frankie, is that his name? he is Dolores' son as well.
Yeah.
So like, I wonder what her opinion on that whole thing is. Like, what is, she's always seems to be like wanting to be like Switzerland.
Yeah.
But I do feel like the time will come where she's going to need to make a firm stance.
Yeah. Oh, I thought in the, so Dolores says about the phone call to Margaret's son, when Melissa pulls out the like phone record receipt, and Dolores says she doesn't want it to be true. But Margaret did call her the day it happened. Teresa asks why Dolores didn't tell her, and she says she wants nothing to do with it. I mean, it's the kind of thing where it's like, again, like the pieces seem to fit.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to be a weird part three, I think.
I'm very excited for it.
I am excited. Yeah. I'm nervous, but excited.
Same. I feel like I can feel the tension from this far away.
It's all led up to this.
Yes.
And we will be back next week to talk about it. Jordana, thanks as always for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you everyone for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Picot, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Picot. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.